Okay, praise the Lord. Very nice to see all of you this morning. Praise the Lord. It's been a while since I've had this privilege to be here in your midst and to sense the presence of God, as well as have the opportunity to break some bread. Praise the Lord. There is a particular word that the Lord has been speaking to me for quite some time now, and it is being confirmed through many different avenues, dreams, visions from various peoples in the fellowship that we have, both abroad as well as in the U.S. And it's a word that is really, it is a word that the Lord is bringing us concerning our position and involvement with Him and the responsibility that He has laid upon us concerning it. Over the last several months, maybe a couple, year and a half, maybe a little more than that, the Lord began to talk to me personally about the need for a change of direction. And direction basically in the aspect of what it is we're doing, how we are doing it, and the reason for which we are doing it. And I suppose the reason for which we are doing it is something that is necessary for us all to examine it, to examine as far as our own participation is concerned on whatever level that would be. Because there is a particular word, I would also encourage you that there was a particular word that I brought in the London conference, not the Luton conference, but the London conference. The Luton conference was somewhat similar, I suppose, but in particular, the London conference that Sunday morning. I have the link. If you are interested, you can contact me.
We got it yesterday.
Oh, you got it yesterday.
Yeah, Brother Joe sent it out.
Okay, all right. So it was that Sunday morning meeting. In fact, that was the only meeting I really ministered in, but there was one of personal ministry, and then there was one of the word that I was sharing. The one that I would like you to listen to, if possible, is the word that I was sharing, because it deals with this subject in the aspect of where we are, what it is that we are commissioned to do, and the fact of whether we are doing it or not. It would seem to me that in the words that God is bringing, we have as a people been somewhat diverted from what it is that God has given us in light of the word that He's given us. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me, He says, this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in every nation, in every tongue. And now, physically, it is impossible for us to do that, I think, with the small contingent of people that we have. However, there is a sowing or a broadcasting of seed that a farmer does when he goes out to a position or a place to sow a field. He goes out to scatter that seed. In some respects, we have been doing that, but we have not been... looked at it in a manner by which to facilitate that which has been sown, and therein lies part of our problem, I believe, concerning it. My experience in visiting so many of the different fellowships and over the last year, 2 years, 3 years. It seems like we have got into a routine of church. We have our lifestyles. We have our positions, of our goals that have been set for us as individuals, as parents, as families, and we have been working in a capacity to fulfill or to achieve those goals. And along the way, it seems that we have included the aspect of the word that God has given us. We have had the time of establishing fellowships. That's all well and good, and all of the things that go with those fellowships. But however, those fellowships, in and of themselves seemingly have been in some manner or another shifted or moved to an emphasis of church,
yes,
and not so much the aspect of the emphasis of the word that has been given to us,
yes,
by virtue of the essence of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And one of the aspects of that, I think is reiterated here in Isaiah, the 55th chapter. I'm just going to start at the first verse. So, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and what without price. Without price, praise God. First and foremost, one of the things that the word gives us is the aspect of an invitation to partake, to participate, and to become, I suppose in some respect or another, what it is that God expects is us to be inundated. Doesn't that mean to be soaked? Huh? Doesn't that mean to be soaked in it? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Overwhelmed by it.
Overwhelmed by it. Completely buried into it. Any aspect or any aspect of that. Thank you. Any aspect of that. And I think in a lot of our situations, and I'm really talking to me personally, not necessarily to you, if the shoe fits, well, I guess you'll have to put it on. But the fact of the matter is, there are so many other things that are vying for,
yes,
our attention.
Yes.
We have jobs to do, we have responsibility and bills to pay, and all of the aspects that go with living and life and the pressures, personality-wise and otherwise, all pressing, all pushing, all demanding, and yet in the midst of it, there is an expectation that God has of me.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And quite frankly, I am not going to have any excuse. You understand. And the reason I say that is because of the man that was invited to the wedding feast, and he showed up at the wedding feast. How he got in? Well, I think it was by virtue of invitation. You know, you have to have a special invitation to get into some of these events. And evidently there was an invitation that the man had that allowed him to get in there, although he was not garmented in the way that he should have been garmented. So quite frankly, I have a personal responsibility. I have a personal position of examining myself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Not examining the circumstances that I'm in, not examining the other individuals that I'm working with. I have a personal responsibility for examining myself. Praise the Lord. And not in the sense of a quick look. Hallelujah. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me, I had a handkerchief when I started out this morning, I thought. Oh yeah, here it is. One of the things that the Lord spoke to me personally very long time ago is, you have no, well, let's see, how did he say it to me? Something in the nature of the responsibility of blame concerning my position and my place of growing up in God or not growing up in God rise solely, totally upon my own shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. That's what he told me personally. Hallelujah. That means that I cannot blame something else other than what it is that is me concerning the word that I have gotten. Why? Because there are two things God has given me by which I might discern and decipher my position of responsibility. Hello? One of them is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ that gives me the ability, what?
To
see. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ has given me the ability to see. Not to see things or circumstances or situations. Hello?
Yeah.
Not to see the aspect of the environment that I am in and all of the things that go with that environment. The blood of Jesus Christ specifically, most definitely gives me the ability to see the kingdom of God.
Yes, amen.
Not the kingdom of Bert Asbell. Well, although that comes along as you get into the comparison realm, but I'm not dealing with that right now. What it gives me the ability to see is the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It gives me the ability to discern what is the kingdom of God. Not only just to see. To see is one thing. Hello? Hallelujah. But in the aspect of seeing, in the connotation of how the Bible utilizes that word, it means not only to deceive, not only to see, but to discern. Hello? Hallelujah. And if you take the verse in context, if you take it in context with how it is spoken and where it is spoken and to whom it is spoken, praise the Lord, it has to pertain to an individual position of relationship that man, Nicodemus, hallelujah, would have with God on the level of being born again. Hallelujah. Well, you know, we have a wrong connotation. We have a wrong understanding, maybe because of church theology, church doctrine, or whatever it is, how we have grown up under in the aspect of what it means to be born again. Hallelujah. But we should have a clear, more defined position of understanding concerning being born again. Hallelujah. So we are able to see the kingdom of God, and that in context with that next verse, which is verse 5. This is verse 3, going to verse 5. It says that what? You must be born. We're talking about the accoutrements that God has given us by which to facilitate and to come to a goal that he has set. Hello? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Some of us set our own goals.
Yeah.
Some of us set the goal of salvation. I just want to get into heaven. I just want to get out of hell, and I want to get into heaven. That is a goal, but that is not the goal that God has set.
Yeah.
The reason why God gave you the blood of Jesus Christ was not to get you into heaven, not to keep you from going to hell, but to give you an ability to perceive, to understand, and to recognize something of a greater value.
Right.
Yeah,
hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is the essence of that greater value. And then it goes on into verse 5, and it says that if you, in order to enter into the kingdom of God, what? You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. Now, that is not an instantaneous event. When you get baptized, you get baptized, you go down in the water. That is the initialization of the process of what baptism means. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
No.
And it says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." Now, we're thinking about the waters as something to drink. Yes, praise God. That is one of the aspects of it. But in the aspect of water and what it means to a born-again believer, it has a deeper, defined and comprehensive meaning concerning us in our position of relationship with Jesus Christ. So, let's see. Romans, let's go to Romans 6. Romans 6. And I am talking to myself probably more than you. But praise God. Hallelujah. Romans 6, verse 1, and it says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now, how do we define sin in the context of how it is and what it is that we are talking about? How do we define sin? We need to define sin. There is a scripture. You can put your finger there, and turn over into Romans, the 8th chapter. Okay, let us define sin in the context of life and living. Well, let us start at verse 1 at Romans 8. There is therefore no condemnation, that's judgment by the way, to them which are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I think everyone can say amen to that, right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But let us drop down a little bit. For they that are in the, this verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to what? Be carnally minded is death. So death and sin are synonymous as far as I am concerned. Maybe they're not the same for you, but as far as I am concerned, death and sin are synonymous. Death and sin and flesh. Hello? That is the life that I have in the natural arena, as it takes precedence over my environment. As it takes precedence over my environment. Hello? Are you following me? Hallelujah. It is not the matter of what this or that or this or that or that or this is in the aspect. It is my position of what attitude or what mental environment that I move in with regards to it. Hello? For it says here, it goes on to define that verse 5 and verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what?
Life and peace.
Life and peace. Praise the Lord. Do we have an amplified?
Oh, yeah.
I have one here, I think. But, let's go to that. I want to go to that verse, see what it says. Not always the right thing, but sometimes it's gotten good.
It says here that, I think it's the Greek, the minding of the flesh and the minding of the spirit. In other words, To mind the things of the flesh.
Well, let me read this from the Amplified, if I may. I'll start at the first two verses. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no judging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Go to verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh and are controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds on and pursue those things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds on and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. You know, there's a verse somewhere. There's a verse somewhere that talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Huh? What? Let's see if we can find it. It would be important to read that, I think. Hallelujah. So there is, if you were to go back into Romans 7, there at the end of the chapter, Paul has said, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death?" Why? Because there was a struggle, there was a war going on. But the fact of the matter, of the position or the place of deliverance, was Paul's Paul's position of faith concerning who it was that was going to deliver him. First and foremost, he had to recognize the position or the place of his transgressions in the aspect of who and what he was. Hello? Hallelujah. You talk about looking in a mirror, you know, looking in a mirror but not forgetting. Hallelujah. Not forgetting what it was that you see as far as the reflection is concerned.
Ephesians 4:30 says, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day."
Yes, that's a good one. That's the one I'm thinking about. Where is that?
Ephesians 4:30.
All right, Ephesians 4:30.
And then 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not."
Yes, well, I want to grieve not. Because if you take it in the context, if you take it into the context of the chapter that it is talking about, there is no doubt of what it is he is talking about as far as grieving the Holy Spirit is concerned. Because he says there is one body, one spirit, even as the hope of one calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of you is given, what? A grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And what is that measure? What is that gift supposed to do? Down here in the latter part of it, he says he has given some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some shepherds, and some teachers for what? The perfecting of the saints. Now, it is not they that are going to perfect the saints. It is what God has given them that they are given to the body of Christ that is bringing the perfection. So if I give you something that has the ability to perfect you and you do not utilize it, whose fault is it? Whose fault is it?
That's right, it's mine.
It's my fault. It's my fault. It's my fault.
Yeah.
Hello? I mean, I can have all of the word in the world. I can have all of the gifts that God gives in the world. But if I do not utilize them for the purpose for which they are given to me, then I have no excuse at the end of the day. I have no position or place that I can say, well, this wasn't doing this and that wasn't doing that. Hello? Hallelujah. Because I want to remind you of the man that was in the wedding feast.
Mm-hmm.
He was there by invitation. That means he had a word.
Yeah.
It's not talking about John Doe out there. That's talking about Brother Bert. Hello? He has an invitation. What was the invitation? It was the word that was bequeathed to me. It was the word that I heard so many hundreds of years ago. So many years ago. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, it is hundreds of years old. But my goodness, I just got it a few years back. Hallelujah. It is a word that came to me specifically.
Yeah. Amen.
Hallelujah. Even as it was one day the Lord walked in into a meeting and tapped me on the shoulder and he says, "I'm not going to tell you again." Hello? Hello? Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. The word that I received was as specific and as direct and as absolute as that word was. Only it wasn't given to me in the same way. Hello? It was given to me by virtue of an anointing that was upon those ministries that God has set in the body.
That's right.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm not just singling out one ministry. I'm singling out all five of those ministries. They were set in the body for a particular reason. They were given a particular word for a particular purpose. And that purpose was bequeathed to me by virtue of my understanding. When I understood it, I became responsible.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I became, so to speak, of age. Hallelujah. I can give you a word, and if you don't understand it, you cannot be held accountable for it. But if I give you a word, and in the word, and in the time frame of that giving, there comes to you an understanding. You are now accountable. You are accountable. Not to me. Not in the essence of me judging you or passing some sort of sentence upon you, but by virtue, hallelujah, Hallelujah. You are responsible for the aspect of what it is you do with that word. Hallelujah. The people that were brought down to the water. Hallelujah. And we are there.
Amen.
God said, I said, bring them. All Joshua had to do, all Gideon had to do was bring them to the water.
Yes.
That's all he had to do.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. He had a responsibility to, at the beginning of it. He had to stand up and proclaim, all you want to go home, go home. Hallelujah. Go home. Hallelujah. And a major portion of them left. Then God said to Gideon, bring them down to the water. And he said, there, I will try them. You could say, I will try each and every one of them individually. Hello.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It wasn't a matter of the man that was down on his face sucking the water up. To be judged by the man that was beside him who was standing there with his mouth doing it in the proper way. Hallelujah. It was the word of the Lord that came to Gideon and says, those that are down like a dog lapping the water, take them out. Hello? It was the word of God and what they were doing with it that brought the division.
Yeah.
It brought the separation. It separated the Gideon company from the host of the 10,000.
Right.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here we are. Here we are. It says, let's see, what verse were we in? We were looking at that.
30. You wanted to get down to 30.
Okay. So we have the ministry. And to bring us, it says, from whom, verse 16, but speaking the truth in love, let's read verse 15, may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. When it says in the Bible that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit to enter into the kingdom of God, it's talking about the process of maturity.
Amen.
It's talking about the process of development. It's talking about the process of an individual walking circumspectly before God. Hello? Hallelujah. It says, speaking the truth, let's see, where am I?
You were going
16. But whom the whole, from whom, it says, grow up into him in all things which is the head. We are to grow up into what?
Right.
You know, we're trying to connect to each other.
No.
We're trying to connect to each other. We are. We think oneness is trying to connect with each other. But the oneness doesn't come from that working to connect with each other. The oneness comes by each of us connecting the head.
Amen.
For it's very specific here. It says, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head.
Yes.
Hello? Even Christ. Hallelujah. So it is not a matter of... there is a development of a nature in us that God calls Christ. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And the more that nature is developed, the more of the head we possess.
Amen.
Let me put it this way. The more that we develop, the more it is that the head possesses us.
Yeah.
Hello. That is the correct position. That is the correct thought. Hallelujah. Because the head must possess me. Hello? Hallelujah. The head must be compatible with my entity of soul. Must be compatible in every aspect. And that is something that works within the very depths of my being. Hallelujah. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So when it says in verse 7... that every one of us is what? Given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Brethren, that is a limited, not a limited gift, a measure. Hello? The thing that makes it limitless, is that right?
Yeah, yes. Yeah.
The thing that makes it limitless is that it's Christ.
Yes, amen.
Hello? Hallelujah. And I don't care what part or piece or how small or how minute it may be. I don't think there is a divisional, I don't think there is a divisional, fractional measurement of it. Hallelujah. Because it is one seed. It is one seed. And what he's talking about is a seed. And in that seed is the total potential of being anything and everything that God is.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. And it says unto every one of us is given grace according to that measure. Do you understand? It's not a measure of how small or insignificant or how big it is. It is a measure as to the consistency of what it is to be Christ.
Yes. Amen.
Hello. Did I say that right?
You did.
Hallelujah. That Christ, that part, that piece, that potential, that measure is one and the same thing. You have it, you have it, you have it, you have it. These little children, if they're born again and have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they have it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And it's the capacity of that measure is the same capacity. Hallelujah. Now, what you do with it and how you treat it, and again, it's an individual position. I determine whether I'm 30-fold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I determine whether I'm 60-fold. And I determine what?
Whether you're 100-fold.
If I'm 100-fold. Do you know what determines the fruitfulness of the seed?
The bearer of it.
The quality of ground that it is planted in. That determines the fruit. The seed is subject to the environment of the ground.
Mm-hmm. Which is our soil, right?
The greater the ground receptivity and productivity,
right.
Hello? The greater the potential it gets out of the seed.
Yes.
Hello? Oh, yes. I was made a believer out of farming.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I saw the results of hard ground, packed ground, nutrition devoid ground, and all of the aspects of it. Hello? Hallelujah. And I have seen the results of plants and how they survive and what that environment produced. You know, there was one year, the first year that we were out there and working, we had no knowledge of anything. We just thought you'd go out there and plant seeds and water it and it would grow. Oh, we were, and you know that whole section there as you drive in on the right?
Uh-huh.
We had that whole fund. That's where we started planting in quantity. I had broccoli, I had cabbage, I had all kinds of those types, coal crops growing out there, all those kind of crow crops out there. And all I did was go in with a round disc and scrape the dirt and then come back with and plant it. That's all we did. It was a big mistake. Hallelujah. Our plants, by the end of the year, we lost that whole field. The ground was so hard, the plants were all balled up in a little bitty ball like this. You remember that? Hallelujah. I go out there and I just pull on a leaf and up came the whole plant. And the bugs. Oh, my God. The bugs. The plants could not stretch. I had skeletons. I didn't have plants. I had skeletons. They ate all the leaves and left all the stems. It looked like one of those forbidden forests. You know, you go out there and just skeletons. That's all we had, and we lost all of it. We lost all of it. Hallelujah. You remember that? Hallelujah. We lost all of it. So it was the seed bad?
No.
Why? Why did they not do what they were supposed to do? Because the ground had no nutrition, because the ground had did not have the ability to, the ground was hard-packed and would not allow the roots to prosper, and maybe some of the care and the weedings and all of that we were not able to do or something. I don't know, but what I do know is that fruit, that field produced zero. Hallelujah. It's not in reference to the seed. The seed in its totality, we took the same seed and planted it again, the following year, but this year I went in and broke up the ground and I got fertilizers and I did all of this, did all that. And you know what? Those plants begin to thrive. They begin to grow and they begin to produce some very good, tasty fruit. And not only that, but those plants were able to fight off some of the bug attacks that were coming to them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it is not in the aspect of the measure that you are given, because the potential that you have, the potential that I have, is the totality of God. Hallelujah. It is the ground in which is planted. What am I going to do with the ground? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we could go into that, but I'm not.
Break up.
Hallelujah. Break up the fallow ground. But not only that, but you have to tend it. You have to weed it. You have to water it. You have to care for it. It is a full-time job that takes much time and energy. Hallelujah. And we're not doing it in that fashion. We're not doing it in that way. And I think that is part of what the Lord is saying in when he says that you cannot do things as you have done them in the past.
Yeah.
Hello? Well, I am glad that the Lord is saying that, in that it means that there is still time to do something about it. If the Lord was not saying something about it, there would be no time left to do anything. Hallelujah.
Hmm.
But it is whether we believe it or not. So let us go on here. Let's see. What was that other verse we were looking at? 20.
You want to get down to 30.
30. Okay, and it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, it says, you must be what? Born of the water and born of the Spirit. And you are born of the water and born of the Spirit for a particular reason. It says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. If you do not move in accordance to what the thought and the idea is in the aspect of the Holy Spirit, it is working something of a grief that God calls, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You know, there is a reason for which God gives us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Hello? The baptism of the Holy Spirit is given to us that we might what? Enter.
Mm-hmm.
That we might enter. Enter where? The kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of man. Not the kingdom of my personal environment, my personal wants and dispositions and thoughts and desires and aspects of what it means to be Christian, but in my aspect of personal relationship with a living God. The Holy Spirit gives me that ability. The Holy Spirit gives me a direct line to God. A direct line right to God.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Romans again says, let's read it. It says that the Holy Spirit. Now, listen to this. Listen, brethren. Listen to what I say and see how it might apply to your circumstance.
You mean Romans
8? For this 8th chapter.
Are you thinking of verse 26?
Probably. I want to read up here. I'm just seeing. It says, okay, verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of the glorious liberty of the children of God. Praise the Lord. That's a side benefit. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the first fruits of the Spirit? Do you have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Hello? Hallelujah. Well, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the first fruits of the Spirit are those things that are working in your inward parts.
Oh, Jesus.
Not that you discern the inward parts of someone else.
Right.
Not that you discern the inward workings of an environment that you are in. Hello? But it is given to you specifically. There are maybe those operations of it in some manner or some fashion, but the critical position, the critical place, the designation of the job that has been given to the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
is to search my inward parts.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you where this agreement was made. Can I show you that? Turn with me over into Genesis chapter 1. I want to show you where the agreement was made. Now, there's an interesting revelation here. In Genesis chapter 1, when it says, and God said, mm-hmm. and God said, and God said. That word God, that's used as word, is the word Elohim.
That's right.
And that means a plurality. But it's not defined.
Praise the Lord.
I suppose if you were Hebrew and you used the word Elohim, then you would probably understand the significance of it. But I'm not Hebrew. And I don't read Hebrew. So when I read God said, I don't read Elohim as plural in essence or aspect of being.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. But for the sake of us, because I guess God knew that it was going to be translated. Hallelujah. Here in that 26th verse, God says, and Elohim said,
yeah.
Huh? Let us. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's as significant to you as it is to me, but there is a definitive description of the us. Hello? That means in the operation of it, all of a sudden now, the three entities of God in separate dimensions or separate positions of responsibility have a council. They have a council, and they decide to make man. And brethren, what I personally believe is at this time, the designated position of that responsibility was given to each and every aspect of that entity. God was kind of like the think part of it. He had this concept, he had this thought, he had this goal that he wanted to treat. Almost like a thought of how to build something, like an architect that has a plan and he puts it out on the table. And in the aspect of that, there was a delegation of responsibility to God the Son. And his responsibility was to come at some point in time and demonstrate the reality of man and God working and walking together. And in the position of responsibility, the Holy Ghost came into a position of conscious reality that he would be the vehicle by which to lead man into that position or into that place of overcoming. Hallelujah. So there was an agreement in the Godhead for one purpose, one thought, one concept, one goal. They would all be working together. And then when you go into Romans and into John chapter 17, you see the reality of that agreement. Praise the Lord. It says, verse 20, chapter John chapter 17, neither prayeth I these alone, but for them also shall believe on me through their word. Come on now. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, you have to understand, he's not talking about verbalization of syllables and language. He's talking about what it was that was in the beginning. Hello? And when you talk about the word, you're talking about John chapter 1, verse 1, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning was what?
Was God.
Yes.
It's the word.
The word God and Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Or Jesus. Hallelujah. Hello. Hallelujah. So it's talking about not just a word of salvation. It's talking about the position or the place of God's thinking in the beginning and in the aspect of the three of them that were working in conjunction with each other with regards to their personal, to their individual responsibility for the development of this creature that was going to be called man. Hallelujah. 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 So here we have, he says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, which shall believe on me through their word. Believe on me. What is the me? Hallelujah. It is the entity of a man who was possessed by God and had developed within him a nature that is called Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. You know, and when it says that there's a scripture that I've heard so many times, and we used to use it so ignorantly, it says something, and I just heard it the other day, something about they who do not profess that Christ has come in the flesh. What is it? What is the
verse? It's in 1 John.
Yes, well, what is the verse?
If any man, no man can say that Jesus Christ is Lord except.
Except?
Yes.
What?
By the Spirit of God.
No, but it says something about him coming in the flesh.
Right. Right.
And it's not talking, it's not talking about an actual individual or an individual, a human being, a humankind that came by virtue of God in a particular time frame. It's talking about the reality or the essence of who and what he was and what he was demonstrating and what it is that we can be because of it.
It's 1 John 4:2.
Read it, please. Read it, please.
Ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth that not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God.
Hallelujah.
It's the spirit of Antichrist.
And it is talking, yes, it's the spirit of Antichrist. It is talking about not just a single entity or a personality who had the ability to walk and talk with God, but it's talking about the collective aspect of God in what the Bible calls his body and the manifestation of God in the fullness. Hello? Are you there?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And this is what it says. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me. Me is the aspect or the reality of the collective purpose and intent of God from the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You cannot divide it from that. Because we're talking about, because it's talking about in the verses previous, I have given them thy word. Hello?
Yes.
This is the word that he had in the beginning. And the aspect of the thing that was working in the word that he was working to create when he said, when God breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul. It was the initial position and demonstration of the reality of God and man walking together. Hallelujah. Although it was just the foundational aspect, the foundational principle of the reality of the building that would be built upon it. Hallelujah. It isn't so much the aspect of the man as it was the principle of it. And the man died, went to dust. But the principle is something that remains.
Amen.
And has been sounding its trumpet, has been blowing its alarm all through the Old Testament, into the New Testament, and into our present day. Hallelujah. Okay, so they said, we go back to what the intent, that they may be one.
Yes.
Hallelujah. As thou, our Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. Hallelujah. That the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So this position, this place of oneness, is something that is to be demonstrated not by the divine intervention in God, of God into midst of present day circumstances, but by the development of God within the nature of man who has received the word that has the potential to make him like God. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me go back over here to Isaiah. No, where was I? Isaiah 55. And
left off at verse 3.
Oh, I didn't think I'd get out of verse 1.
You can get out of verse 1.
Oh, okay.
Hallelujah. Let me just read. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? Hello? Do you remember the woman at the well?
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, by the obedience of a man to the nature of God within him, he brought forth a church. He met one woman, and that woman became the key to the whole environment of what he was in.
Amen.
And you know, the amazing thing is, they said, we now believe, not because you have told us, but because what? We have heard with our own ear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want evangelism. You want pure evangelism. Hallelujah. That is what evangelism is. Not necessarily just knocking on doors, although that is a good thing if you're led of the Spirit to do it. Or talking to this one, or talking to that one. But I'm telling you, the talking must be on the basis of the virtue of the leading of God that is inside of you. So it is not you that is speaking.
Yes. Amen.
Hallelujah. And so that the result or the thing that is given or that is responded is not something that is counterfeit. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It can be counterfeit.
That's right.
There are people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. There are people who are thinking they are saved. They are not saved. They are not saved. And there are people who are speaking in tongues who don't have the Spirit of God. They have some other spirit.
That's right.
Hallelujah. 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 So it is necessary for us to have that nature, that the essence of the reality of that nature within us. Okay, so it says, wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? The disciples were hungry. They thought Jesus was hungry. They thought because they were hungry, Jesus would be hungry. So they went into the city to buy. And when they came back, he wasn't hungry anymore. There's a spiritual principle in that, you understand. Not only was he not hungry, but it's saying something to us that we have a level of growing,
yes.
Yet a level of understanding, a level of comprehension we have to come into because our lives are so dedicated to eating. Maybe you don't have the same trouble that I have. Hallelujah. 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 We are so dedicated to eating. And you know, there's another scripture that comes to me that it lines up with this, and it says, wherefore do you labor for what? The meat that perisheth. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying that we all have to quit and go to seeking God. I'm saying we have to seek God in the midst of what it is that we are doing.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. We have to seek God. We have to touch God. We have to know God. We have to receive from the vitality in life from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we will be able to obey God. If he says don't eat, you're not going to want to eat because you're going to be full of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's another scripture that comes to me that is pertinent to that one. It is found in Revelations, and it's one of the things that is that is said to one of the churches. It's the fifth church, by the way, I believe. It's the church of Sardis, is it? Yes. These things saith he that seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, and thou hast a name that thou livest and thou art dead. My God. You know, quite frankly, I think it is an overall picture of how God is looking at the Holy Place Church.
Mm-hmm.
I really do.
Yeah.
And that includes me. I'm not excluding myself out of the category of the dead. Hallelujah. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain and are ready to die, for I have not found thy work perfect before God. Why? Why is he not finding the works perfect before God? Why? What is the basis of his for our imperfections, for our position, our place of not being perfect? Where is it? It is in the aspect of a word that has been given to us. Brethren, it can only be measured by the word that has been given to us. If that word has not fulfilled within us and is not working to bring forth the manifestation of me losing myself and finding God.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Exactly.
then I am not doing what it is the word was designed to do.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So he says, he says, thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. My God, let us pray. Let us seek God. Let us ask of God that we might be that portion.
Amen.
That we might be that part. Because it is talking about the Holy Place Church.
Amen.
The Church of Sardis is the Holy Place Church. Hello? It's the fifth station. It's the position of that altar of golden, that golden altar of incense.
Yes.
Hallelujah. He says, remember therefore now, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Hallelujah. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, that have not defiled their garments, and they walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, I shall what? Be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and therefore his angel and before his angels. There is a place, there is a position, there is an opportunity that God is giving to us in this day. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I want to just conclude here, I think, by going back over here. I want to go back to Isaiah 55. Jump down to the third verse. It says, incline your ear. That means we have to be listening. We have to endeavor. We have to make it a point to quiet ourselves before God. Hello? Hallelujah. So that we're not always saying, God this, God that, God this, God that, God this, God that, blah, 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 blah. Hallelujah. We quiet ourselves before. Incline my ear. That means, God, open my ear. Allow me to hear what it is you're saying. Not just in a verbal sense, in an auditory way, but God, let me hear the resonance of the Spirit of God that is in the midst of what it is that you are saying and how it pertains to me and what it is I must do and how I must do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it says, decline thine ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall what?
Mm-hmm.
Live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies
Amen.
Of David. You know, it's not by mistake that he's including David, because we talk about the restoration of the tabernacle of David. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that restoration of the tabernacle of David goes beyond the tabernacle of the wilderness, because it was a position or a place of relationship that David had with God. He was not of the priesthood, but yet he was in the presence of God, which was symbolic by the, which was symbolized by the ark and the glory that was upon it. Hello? And it was union with God and man in the closest sense that the Old Testament could get it. Hallelujah. Incline thy ear. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. Behold, I have given him for a witness. David now. I had given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that thou knew not shall run unto thee, because the Lord thy God and the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. What? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I think there is an opportunity God is giving us as a people concerning our position, our place of transgression, and concerning the position or the place of his forgiving us and restoring us if we participate and do what it is that we are supposed to do. God bless you.
I'd like to say the word that you brought this morning has answered a question I've been asking the Lord. Because I have been asking him, where's the light? What's what are we missing? And you nailed it. The word that you brought nailed it. And then I heard in a couple messages by Brother Job, if you're not receiving how to save your soul, that is the apostolic message. And, I mean, a lot of words don't have anything to do with saving our soul. They're nice words, but they don't have anything to do with it. But I've just been asking God, and that's what, and then what you shared. Thank you. I want to thank you because you answered a question I've had
praise
before
God.
The Lord. I had something I was, it's either a vision or a dream, I'm not sure. But I thought of that before this, and I thought of that during the word also. But I saw a hand, clear as day. It was just a hand. It was a left hand. And that really clicked in my mind that it wasn't the right hand. It was the left hand. And these two fingers were bound. The thumb and the index finger were bound. The apostle and the prophet were bound. And I was asking God, the hand he showed me this morning, the scripture that says the right hand is the spirit and the left hand is the flesh. And I thought, okay, but I couldn't really quite put it all together what he was saying. But I wondered if when people go off in their flesh, when people don't move by the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
if they bind the apostle and the prophet, that was the thought that came to me when the scripture came this morning. And I thought, well, I need to bring it to the brethren and see if they get any word from the Lord on it. But the thing I had in my heart was, I want to pray for that bondage to be broken, but I don't really quite have the understanding of exactly what God is trying to say to pray. I'd like to.
There is a scripture that comes. It was a scripture that says, "Not being mixed."
Not being mixed with faith.
Not being mixed with faith.
Hebrews 4.
Where did you say?
Hebrews 4.
Verse 2.
Yes. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us for entering into his rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall not enter into my rest, there although the works were finished from the foundations of the world. So, yes, well, if indeed the left hand is indicative of the natural application of the working of the ministry, in your vision, if it's indeed the working of the ministry in your vision, then there is a binding. I mean, there is a binding, you know, that is going on, as we very well know, concerning the apostolic word and what people are doing or not doing with it, and how they are actively working against it in one way or another. So there is a binding. There would be a binding if indeed the left hand is indicative of the natural application of the ministry per se, as to the fivefold ministry.
Well, too, when these two things are confined, there's not much use in that hand. I mean, it's really hard to do anything without your finger and your thumb are so important in your hand.
I remember Seth teaching us you lose your strength.
Well, not if you got those two fingers bound, it's very difficult to do anything. If they're bound.
Scripture comes to mind is that the church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Yeah.
It means the foundation. And
God?
Well, what we should pray, I suppose, is that that God would loose the binding. We pray against the binding of the apostolic and the prophetic ministries.
Yeah. Well, what stood out to me in the Word was how we drink the water. How we drink. How we handle the Word.
Absolutely.
Because the onus, if the Word is delivered to you, and what you do with it, it's like you say, you can't go back and say, well, I didn't hear. I didn't have the tools or the ability, because you did. You received the Word by faith, and what you do with the Word is your responsibility. So it's how we handle the water of the Word. And we're all going to be held accountable for what we hear.